Let's start backwards, maybe around the time of the Charette in 2018, and you were getting all sorts of feedback from the community at that point about, you know, what people wanted to do. And of course, there are all sorts of lofty ideals and grandiose plans, and not a clear awareness of what money is available and how it works from there. So how did things go from that point?
Yeah, so I mean, I think that was a unique and new process for all of us to really start the development of a project with listening to the community about what people wanted there, right? And I think it's something we want to continue to use as a tool. The core things that really were clear that everybody, the consensus things were using the area below grade for two levels of parking, both as a way of creating a buffer from potential flooding, as an increasingly likely flooding, as well as a way to increase the availability of parking at the core of downtown, which has been gone back and forth as to what that importance is, but certainly people feel that sometimes it's hard to get parking downtown. So yeah, I think this is a unique and new process for all of us to start a development process with some deep listening and exploring what the consensus could be found as to what people need and want out of One Monument Square, and particularly found that, you know, the important things, and, you know, it's been my critique of some previous designs as well, that were at that center of the city, really a strong connection to the waterfront and to the waterfront park, and wanted to make sure that there's strong public access down to the waterfront, as well as sort of enhancing Monument Square as a public square. It's always been a good gathering place, but there's need for some more amenities there that allow it to be useful for more other kinds, you know, music and other types of gatherings. And then the other big one that people were concerned about as well was availability of parking, and in particular making sure that the building that is at Monument Square is buffered from the waterfront, so that flooding that is more and more likely every day is sheltered by parking structures, so that those can get flooded and not damage the building infrastructure itself.
There was one more that because I attended not the entirety of the Charette, but a bulk of it, and that's the fate of the farmers market, which of course is thriving there, and recently won, you know, an award as one of the better farmers markets in the country at this point. But of course, in the winter months, it's stuffed into the confines of the atrium, which. Maybe in a theoretical way has enough space for it, but really when you look at the way that is structured, you'll have like a main area that works for a lot of the vendors there, and then all these little offshoots that are dead ends in a lot of different ways.
Sure. That's certainly always been part of the discussion, both with the market as well as with the atrium and with the Monument Square. I don't think a conclusion was really met there, partially because there's uncertainty about what's going on with the atrium. There's, you know, he got a big grant from the state to redevelop that as well.
Who is he?
The owner of the atrium, David Bryce.
Okay.
And he's got a lot of cool ideas about how that space could be better utilized as well. And simultaneously, you know, I think we already have one space in downtown Troy that's a big empty space 6 days a week. I think there was definitely some concern about the idea of what would be happening in that space the days when it's not a farmer's market, and particularly to put that right at the center of downtown. I think that that'll continue to be a debate as to whether or not they can fill out the other days with other kinds of programming. And I think it's possible. But they're not directly part of this development. They may end up being part of it, but that'll be part of the long-term discussions.
Okay, so you've heard from the community, you have a certain number of principles that you're trying to incorporate into this, and then you guys, where does the Hoboken Brownstone Company come into play?
Yeah, so, you know, when we came up with the concept of what we wanted to have build there, there's a couple ways to do that, right? One would be to design it ourselves and put out an RFP for a company to build it. One would be to...
Let's just define RFP for...
Yes, a request for proposals.
Okay.
So that's a fleshed out line-by-line engineering report. Here's what we're going to spend on building this, and here's what how we're going to do it.
So like the last project that was proposed with the 11 movie theaters and all that, that was like a full RFP.
So that was a full RFP. And that was one where they didn't even have a concept of what we wanted in the site. We just said, hey, developers, tell us what you want to do. Give us your plan. And then they chose the one they liked the most. The pitfalls of that are that it costs a tremendous amount of money for someone to develop a detailed plan, enough of a plan to submit to an RFP. But it also, because they have no guarantee that that'll pay anything back, they often cut corners and don't do their full analysis until after they win the RFP. So then there were change orders. They went from being a relatively modest movie theater to sort of filling the whole space, really didn't respect the waterfront or the monument with the way they ended up designing it, because once they really got in there and did their due diligence, they had to change everything, I guess.
But for all that, the city apparently is settling with them because they filed a suit against you and they're getting $70,000 essentially?
Yeah, so they get, it was their deposit, basically. So they put a deposit down because of the way it ended up with a lawsuit against the city and against them that stalled the project. Basically, the city is reimbursing them their deposit, which was non-reimbursable. We could have played hardball with them on that, but you know, I think that's the other thing, signals we're trying to send, that this is a place where we're not going to play hardball with you. We're here to be partners in developing this site, because otherwise it's going to stay empty for another 10 years. At any rate, so, you know, it could have done an RFP of that nature, but may well have also gotten these sort of uncertainty. And so rather what they did, they chose to do, was put out an RFQ, which is a request for qualifications, where they literally just go out and say, hey, development community, come tell us some of the similar projects you've done in the past, what kind of financing you have available to you, what kind of talent you have in your team, who are going to design this, who are going to finance it. And we're looking for a partner in this project. So then rather than being an arm's length transaction where sealed bids and end up just having to choose one, we get to have a much deeper conversation with them about one. It's similar, you know, they're sealed bids about the qualifications, but then once we choose a qualified developer, we're able to bring them into the planning process in a much deeper way and have those conversations about where exactly public space should be in the design and how should those interface with the waterfront in a deeper way. And then, you know, how can we collaborate on applying for grants and applying for and recruiting tenants? And, you know, I've continued to advocate for something like a children's museum at that site. I don't know whether it'll end up being at that site, but I know, you know, having this model of partnership gives us more opportunity to really work together to bring out these new models.
Okay. In July of this year, you guys committed to Hoboken Brownstone Company.
Correct.
And in the last couple weeks, what has transpired in terms of the TLDC, which we should define for our listeners, and what's the plan there?
So I guess to be clear, in July, the RFQ committee, which was a group of citizens from the area, concerned and involved people.
How did those citizens come together? I mean, were they appointed by the mayor? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How did he determine who to appoint? And like, who specifically are those people? What are their qualifications?
Let's see. You know, I don't know all the names. I know Dan Lyles was on it. I know, actually, he's the only one positive was on it. Essentially it was people who had been involved with the charrette and, who have shown interest in thoughtful development of the site. one way or another. Yeah, a few architects, a few other. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, so they reviewed the they made the recommendation. It's really this vote that we're taking next week, which will be the first full-on commitment to Hoboken. Up until then, they've been working on faith that that they'll be the people we're working with, but that hasn't enabled them to invest what they really need to come up with a full plan. And so that's why what we're doing on Thursday is signing over a executable option to the Detroit LDC, which is the Local Development Corporation.